This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. I use it with my patients at the Hoffman Center all the time. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, the company is offering you special savings of $50 and free shipping. To find out more, go to TryZonaNow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman to get your $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or TryZonaNow.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and of course, we got lots to talk about this hour and next if you choose to join us. Lots of information about health. That's why you listen to this program. We provide you with updates from the news, from medical journals, and from my personal experience working with patients at the Hoffman Center. 888-302-3684 is our number, and you can call us, get in on the action. You can get directly into the doctor's office and pose your question this hour or next. 888-302-3684. And before we get to phone calls, we got a couple, but I wanted to talk about this in the news. When it comes to eating, timing is everything. You know, we often talk about the harmful effects of high-fat diets. And the suggestion is that if we simply eschew the fat, that'll be beneficial in terms of weight loss. But there are a couple new studies that I want to share with you that suggest that it's not the fat, it's the timing of the eating of the fat that makes the difference in terms of weight gain. You know, there's a reason they call it breakfast. You're literally breaking a fast. But for a lot of people, they eat really late. Sometimes they snack at night. They're told to get up and have a big hearty breakfast. And from then on, they put on the feed bag. And as a result, they're exposed to a caloric onslaught from, let's say, 7 in the morning till about 11 at night. And there are several studies that shed light on this phenomenon, and I'll share them with you. This study's from Hebrew University in Israel. New research from the Hebrew University in Jerusalem shows that a carefully scheduled high-fat diet can lead to a reduction in body weight. Moreover, you can flip the fat storage circuit to a fat burning circuit merely by rearranging the timing in which you're consuming the fat. Okay, the research done on animals, the scientists at Hebrew University hypothesized that careful scheduling of meals would regulate the biological clock and ameliorate the effects of a high-fat diet that, under normal circumstances, would lead to obesity. And indeed, that is what happened. They administered a high-fat diet to mice in a very circumscribed window, realistic, actually, in terms of human implementation. They, instead of giving them access to food 24 hours, they gave the same number of high-fat rat chow to these experimental animals. During a circumscribed period, which was 8 hours, they were able to eat for 8 hours, and then, you know, before and after, the food was withheld. And what happened was very interesting. They achieved a unique metabolic state in which the fats that they took in weren't stored, but rather they were burned for energy at the times when these rats were denied food. So they were on a mini fast, but it wasn't a real fast. They didn't go days without food. They simply didn't eat for several hours during the day. Okay, another study, very similar setup. extended daily fasting overrides harmful effects of a high-fat diet. This one done at the Salk Institute and published recently in a journal called Cell Metabolism. The researchers allowed mice either to eat 24 hours a day versus just 8 hours a day. Same setup. And the lead researcher on the study said, it's a dogma that a high-fat diet leads to obesity, that we should eat frequently when we're awake. In fact, that's actually the mantra of many nutritionists. They say, make sure you eat a little bit, have a lot of snacks to avoid hunger, because if you get super hungry, you're going to eat more food. So fend off hunger by having a big breakfast, make sure you have like a little mid-morning snack, have a moderate lunch, have a mid-afternoon snack, eat a little for dinner, have another bedtime snack. Well, so what they did with these mice who were exposed to food for much of the day. But the other group was restricted to eating only 8 hours every day, in essence fasting for about 16 hours a day. And what they found was pretty interesting. They found that the mice who ate fatty food frequently during the day gained weight and developed high cholesterol, high blood glucose, liver damage, or fatty liver, and they even became uncoordinated. They had diminished motor control. But the mice in the time-restricted feeding group weighed 28% less, and they showed no adverse health effects despite consuming the same amount of calories from a high-fat diet. Okay, so the negative effects of the high-fat diet were offset by the timing of food intake. So the co-author on the paper, which was from the University of California, San Diego, said that it was encouraging that a simple increase in daily fasting time prevented weight gain and the onset of disease. And here's his quote, and I love this quote. Otherwise, this could have been only partly achieved with a number of different pills and with adverse side effects. Meal timing, therefore, has the effect of powerful diet pills on reducing the risk of weight gain. Plus, I guess you'd have to add a statin and maybe a diabetes medication to offset the high cholesterol and high glucose from that high-fat feedback diet. Same amount of fat, but just restricted to a narrower feeding window. And okay, this study is in human infants. And what they did here is they either fed infants during the daytime or they fed them at night. Infants frequently wake up at night, they demand food, and you kind of give them something. And what they found is that 12-month-old infants who were predominantly fed during nighttime hours had a higher weight gain from 12 to 24 months of age and a greater risk subsequently of overweight at 24 months of age than those who were predominantly fed during daytime hours. The researchers say, our findings suggest that consuming larger quantities of energy predominantly during the nighttime may be metabolically disadvantageous, even at age 12 months, and may be a modifiable risk factor against future health problems. Because once you set the template for weight gain at 2 years of age, you know, kids may be destined to be overweight children, teenagers, and adults with subsequent higher risk of diabetes, heart disease, hypertension, even cancer. 888-302-3684. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we'll be taking your phone calls in just a moment here on Intelligent Medicine.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor here, president of the Texas Organic Research Center. As you probably know, it's a toxic world out there, but we can do something about it. Become knowledgeable consumers and use products that are safe and healthy, such as natural supplements that help protect the body's cells from toxic exposure. One of my favorites is Reg Active with ME3, the only probiotic proven to actually produce glutathione in the body. It's the body's master antioxidant, unique in its ability to repair and rebuild cellular damage caused by free radicals and exposure to environmental toxins. Glutathione decreases as we age. Reg Active is great for rebuilding it, and I strongly recommend it.
Look for RegActive at Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide where Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are sold. Revolutionary. Remarkable. RegActive.
You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, brought to you by yours truly and the Hoffman Center. You can find a lot more on Intelligent Medicine at drhoffman.com. Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine podcast and automatically get a new episode 5 days a week. And please rate and review the podcast on iTunes to help us spread the word about Intelligent Medicine. Also go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to buy your supplements via our convenient internet portal or call the Hoffman Center and talk to one of our friendly supplement advisors. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients at the Hoffman Center. Finally, become a patient at the Hoffman Center. I'll personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all the intelligent medicine principles you hear about on the radio show and podcast, or make an appointment with Layla Mudin, our Hoffman Center nutritionist. You already know her as a frequent contributor on Intelligent Medicine, and she'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Thanks for listening and for helping to spread the word about Intelligent Medicine.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. 888-302-3684 gets you right into the doctor's office, and you can pose a question like Jane is about to. Jane's from Connecticut. How you doing, Jane?
Pretty good, Dr. Hoffman.
Welcome. What's your question?
I have a question about my mom, who's 78, and she's had her sodium levels have fluctuated a little bit, and they tend to be on the low side over the past 3 years. And now her regular doctor sent her to a nephrologist.
Right, that's the type of doctor who can analyze that, because specialist will actually look at what are called the electrolytes. You know, they're specialists. You got an imbalance in electrolytes, high potassium or low sodium. This is actually a medical term for this is hyponatremia.
Right.
It's very common in older people. Very common in the older age group. Yeah.
Well,
okay.
He wants to send her to get a PET scan. And we're kind of, she listens to you a lot, you know, and we're always trying to research to find out what's really going on. She does have osteoporosis and some chronic pain from bone on bone shoulder. And she's been increasing her, going back and forth between Advil or Tylenol, more so this year. And I was reading that can, it can do something to your sodium levels. And we're just concerned, we're trying to figure out, is it the wise next step to really go ahead and get a PET scan?
Yeah, I don't know what the rationale is for getting a PET scan, because a PET scan is actually more to identify the potential for cancer. Does he have a high suspicion that she has some underlying cancer?
It seems like they don't know. I was trying to get all her levels or all her numbers before I called you.
Look, it is sometimes a little complicated to figure out the reason for low sodium. I mean, the classic condition that causes low sodium is something called SIADH, syndrome of inappropriate antidiuretic hormone. That's a mouthful, so we'll call it SIADH. But that's not the most common cause of low sodium in older people. Older people tend to retain water. And does she have anything like congestive heart failure? Does she have swelling of the ankles? Anything along those lines?
No swelling. He claims that his statement is it is SIADH.
Oh, okay.
Her creatinine went up a tiny bit in 1 week. Her potassium
I actually remember something from med school. It's amazing. It's like 30 years ago. So that okay.
It said her chloride.
Yeah.
Was a little bit low.
Yeah. But this is actually a fairly benign condition unless the sodium gets very low. See, when sodium gets really low, it's a little bit like what happens to runners when they run on a very hot day. Maybe they're running a marathon, and instead of drinking electrolytes, they drink water. You know, they're thirsty. They drink water. They hand them water at every rest stop. And then you just end up losing your electrolytes and filling up with water. What happens is, these runners actually get wobbly-legged. They feel kind of weak and woozy. And worst-case scenario, you can get brain swelling. This can be dangerous. You can end up in the rescue tent, or it can be fatal. You can have a seizure with low sodium.
Doctor used that as a kind of a, but they want to, that's what part of the reason why they want to do the PET scan to see if there is any edema and to look for cancers and things like that.
Yeah.
But her sodium The lowest it's been is 127.
That's not horrible. That's not horrible.
In 2013, it was 130, 134. Right. Next year it was 129. Then it went up to 138.
Right.
And this summer it's gone down a point, and a point, and then another point, and it's gone down to 127.
Okay. So has she tried, a couple of things? One, she can just simply increase her sodium intake.
She tried that. Yeah.
Been there, done that. Yeah. And that doesn't work.
Yeah, been there, done that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. So another thing that tends to raise sodium, but you have to be careful because it depletes potassium, is to take a little bit of licorice tea. Now, you really need to do that while weighing a patient, because if you tend to put on water weight with that, that's dangerous.
Right.
Or alternatively, you got to check the blood test to see if indeed the licorice is having the desired effect, which it raises sodium, but you can dangerously lower potassium. So you want to make sure there's adequate potassium on board.
Okay.
If you're doing
and right
that.
Now, her potassium is okay.
Okay, so you start with a couple of licorice tea, maybe a couple of cups of licorice tea, but you got to be careful because then you can go overboard. You can get you got a high sodium, water retention, high blood pressure. That's a problem. Is she on medications?
No, she's on nothing. No, remarkably healthy.
Yeah,
other than a lot of chronic pain, severe pain with that.
Yeah,
bone
see, the
bone
other thing
that
concerns me is when you take a lot of not so much Tylenol, but when you take a lot of Advil, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs.
She tries to alternate, and all these years she's been taking things more consistently. Sometimes she'll take a little Tylenol, sometimes she'll take Advil.
It can mess with your kidney function, so you got to be careful. I would go more, I'm not crazy about Tylenol either, but I would try to minimize the Advil, okay? All right, common problem, probably not such a big deal, needs to be watched, and sometimes you can't even figure out the proper cause. Does she need a PET scan? I'm not in the doctor's seat, so I can't really tell why he suspects that there might be some hidden underlying problem to be identified. Let's talk to Jill. How you doing, Jill?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Oh, okay, great. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have an 18-year-old son who has tons of allergies and tolerances, and he can't get the nutrition he needs to get ahead, nor can he take in the nutrients he needs to get ahead. The only thing that seems to work, because of course there's severe fatigue, the only things that seem to work, and in moderation because they can go too far, are things like hot foot baths or ionic foot baths, acupuncture, even homeopathic type of detox drops.
So he's like super achy as well. He really feels sick and flu-like and.
No, I wouldn't say flu-like, but he's very fatigued. He doesn't have great recovery most of the time if he does anything normal.
So I'm going to tell you right up front, this is super complicated and would require an extensive workup. But one thing to work on, a paradigm that you can look up and you can follow, is the paradigm of histamine intolerance. Sometimes that causes multiple allergies, bodily aches and pains. And there's a different type of diet for that. It's not like you're allergic to one food. There's actually many foods that create that. So check out an article that I wrote recently on histamine intolerance for a lead on how you can begin treating your son. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 888-302-3684 is our number for Intelligent Medicine.
Do you know there is a silent killer living among us? High blood pressure. It affects nearly 1 in 3 Americans and is a primary risk factor for stroke and heart attack. The CDC estimates that almost 20% of those with high blood pressure don't even know they have it. That's not surprising, since high blood pressure or hypertension is often symptomless. Research studies have shown that a daily dose of aged garlic extract can safely and effectively help to reduce blood pressure, as well as benefiting a number of other cardiovascular risk factors. And the most researched and highly respected aged garlic extract is all-natural Kyolic aged garlic extract. Odorless and organically grown, Kyolic aged garlic extract has been clinically tested to support blood pressure and cardiovascular health. So, along with getting your blood pressure checked regularly, get Kyolic Formula 109 for blood pressure and cardiovascular support today. Available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. 888-302-3684 is our number. And also, I'll give you a number. Actually, I'll give you an email where you can email us your question, radioprogram@AOL.com, radioprogram@AOL.com. We do additional podcast during the week. And those podcasts can be heard at drhoffman.com, or you can download them from iTunes. And one of our weekly podcasts is called Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. And if you email them to radioprogram@AOL.com, they'll be grist for the mill for our weekly Q&A with Layla, and you can hear our detailed answers. All right, this I want to talk about because we've been getting some great feedback about one of our sponsors. It's the Zona Plus, and it really fits an important niche because natural blood pressure control is a really, really elusive problem. A lot of people stuck on blood pressure medications that they don't like, looking for natural alternatives. They've tried diet, exercise, can't bring the blood pressure down. I have some exciting news about an effective non-drug treatment. It's called the Zona Plus. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure 10% or more naturally, and it really works. I've seen it work dramatically. It works for 9 in 10 people, and let me describe it. It's a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. It's a little daily ritual that you do for just 12 minutes. And in just 4 to 8 weeks, you can see an average decrease in blood pressure of 10% or more. That's been validated by at least 22 clinical studies. And, of course, there are no side effects. Good reviews by Mayo Clinic, Harvard Health Letter, and the American Heart Association. You can try it risk-free as part of a special offer through Intelligent Medicine. Zona Health offers a 100% satisfaction guarantee. You can try the Zona Plus for 3 months and see if it works for you. You've got nothing to lose. If it doesn't, return it for a full refund. And as a listener to Intelligent Medicine, the company's offering you special savings of $50 and free shipping. To find out more, go to tryzonanow.com. They set up a special website, tryzonanow.com, or call toll-free 866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman to get your $50 savings and free shipping. That's 866-669-9662, or go to the web, tryzonanow.com. Okay, this item... aneurysms are a very serious problem. And, you know, people call me up on this program, and sometimes you can find an aneurysm before it's going to burst. What it is, it's a little outcropping of a blood vessel. Blood vessel could be in your brain, or it can be in your abdomen. And sometimes you can detect these before they burst. When they burst, it is absolutely catastrophic. If it happens in your brain, you've got a hemorrhagic stroke. It can knock out a considerable part of your brain, causing major deficits or death. And then there's abdominal aortic aneurysms, triple A's, which are a dread situation in the emergency room. We used to see people with triple A's, often they would be at high risk of dying. You have to get to the hospital immediately if you have this, because literally minutes count. And lives can be saved sometimes with prompt medical action. But literally a blood vessel explodes and you hemorrhage from the largest blood vessel in your body into your abdomen, and minutes count. So people ask me on my show, I've been told I have an aneurysm. What can I do to prevent it from enlarging? And previously I had a stock answer to that. There's nothing you can do except control your blood pressure. You know, make sure your blood pressure is under control, because excess pressure will push on the aneurysm and cause it to swell and expand to the breaking point. So in terms of, I guess, natural medicine, yeah, okay, you know, Zona Plus, lose weight, you know, take any of the supplements that help blood pressure. You know, it's kind of like, what do you do when your sock is stretched out of shape? You know, what's going to make it, you know, normal size? Not a lot you can do to reverse that process. Here's an interesting study out of Kyoto University in Japan, where, by the way, for some reason in Japan, they have a lot less of some of the diseases we see in America, but they have a high rate of aneurysms. Maybe it's the high sodium diet that they consume over there. But according to a study, green tea could prevent a deadly condition in the body's main artery. A team has found that abdominal aortic aneurysm developed less frequently in rats that drank green tea polyphenol. Green tea polyphenol, what's that? That's EGCG, which is the business end of green tea. According to research, green tea could prevent a deadly condition in the body's main artery. They say, quote, the type of polyphenol found in green tea has recently been shown to regenerate elastin. That's pretty cool. You know, because I'm saying once the sock is stretched out of shape, can you make it, can you regenerate the sock? Well, here's an example of the possibility that you can put elastin back into the arterial walls and prevent the artery from stretching out further. There's also the notion that abdominal aortic aneurysms are caused by inflammation, and therefore they tested green tea, and they found that rats that drank green tea, there was less inflammation and more elastin production, protecting the artery from rupture. So that's pretty cool, you know. And so those of you, some of you may be on kind of a vigil. Your doctor has told you that you have an aneurysm. It's not yet time to operate. Sometimes operations are done to take out the segment that's stretched out to prevent its rupture. That happens sometimes in the brain, and that happens sometimes in the abdomen. But for those of you who are under watchful waiting, where the doctor keeps doing ultrasounds or various types of scans to see if it's enlarging, a strategy of using EGCG might be warranted. All right, let's talk to David in Omaha. How you doing?
Yes, good.
Yeah.
Other than having a case of shingles.
Uh-oh, that's nasty. So when did you have the shingles? Are you in the throes of it, or did it happen a long time ago?
I started the breakout with the blisters a year and 4 months ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes. So you have what's called post-herpetic neuralgia. In other words, it's stuck around and you in the aftermath of having an acute case of shingles a year and a half ago. So let me ask you, just curious, did you take the Zostavax? Did you take the vaccine?
No, I did not.
Okay, and I'm not saying that that's, you know, the last caller who told me that she had shingles had taken the vaccine. Nonetheless, she got shingles anyway, and it was a serious case, and she had a similar situation to you. So, of course, there is a vaccine that prevents shingles, but it's not 100% effective by any means.
Yes, my wife got it, took that.
Okay, and she hasn't had the shingles, so that's good news.
No.
Okay, so what can you do at this point? It's best to treat this early on, but there is some hope that if you can get a doctor to administer B12 shots. Now, the doctor may test you and say, well, your B12 is normal. You don't need B12 shots. But still, B12 shots can be therapeutic for the pain of shingles. Okay? Have you also, the other thing is, where's the shingles located?
My right, underneath my right arm, below my armpit, a little bit, about 4 inches around and probably 4 or 5 to the back and about.
Okay, so it's not close. It's not close to your eye. It's not close to your eye. The reason I ask is because sometimes you can apply capsaicin cream. Capsaicin is hot pepper extract. And when you put it on at first, it burns, which makes the situation worse temporarily. But over time, you got to apply it religiously 4 or 5 times a day, day in and day out. For a period of, several weeks, and you will see ultimately a reduction in the pain of the shingles. It really does work, but some people can't get past that initial application stage where, it's like when the firemen set a fire to prevent a fire, that's the way it works. It's like, like a break fire to, fight fire with fire. And in effect,
during the day I can put up with it, but my problem is trying to sleep at night. Mm-hmm. I will fall asleep for an hour, hour and a half, and then you turn and a crease in the sheet or something, then I'm awake for another half hour, 40 minutes, and that's the whole night.
That's usually the case. Yeah, a couple of medications can help that. It's a nerve pain, so you might try Elavil or amitriptyline. A doctor would prescribe that. Or you might try a medication like Lyrica or something along those lines, because those are medications that help nerve pain and also have a little bit of a sedating effect that can help you make it through the night. Yeah, usually in the daytime you're distracted by environmental stimuli that get your mind off the pain, but at night all you have to focus on is the pain and discomfort, and that can interfere with sleep. Yeah, it's a serious problem, but getting treatment early with the B12 injections, I found help. Actually, when people have acute shingles, I give them intravenous vitamin C and B12 shots, and that helps to curtail the infection and reduce the potential for nerve pain later. But you got to do it right at the time of the shingles, and unfortunately, we're shutting the barn door after the horse got out. All right, 888-302-3684. We got lots more to talk about this hour on the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you, and we've got Erwin on our line. Erwin's from Long Island. How you doing, Erwin?
Okay. I'm an 89-year-old goat, more or less, but I'm in pretty good
shape.
You said
you're an 89-year-old goat?
Goat, well, did you say? I'm at 89. I'm still here, thank God.
Okay. You're a hardy mountain goat.
I fell March 7th and fractured my left. I had a non-dislocated fracture on my left shoulder.
Okay.
And I've been going for physical therapy, but I still don't have real good use of the left hand. Okay. I used to swim a lot. I did 16 laps every day, and I worked out in the pool with water weights. Now I can't swim, so I walk in the pool and still use the water weights. So I'm taking, I started to take Vitazyme, which is like Wobenzyme.
That's a good thing.
Is that okay?
Sure, that's a good thing. So let me comment on this situation, Erwin. Common situation, okay? By the way, I've been there, done that.
I had a shoulder
fracture myself. Yeah. So I had a shoulder fracture way back when. It was 1991. And of course, it's a lot easier when you have a shoulder fracture at, what was I, like 45 at the time. That is a common situation in older individuals. Now, let me ask you, were you on any medications at all? Had you been on medication?
Well, I'm a low-grade diabetic. I take glipizide. I take Cosop for my eyes. I have.
So hang on. Yeah. So you're on a variety of medications, Erwin. So, what I just read an article, which is a very important article in a medical journal, which states that whenever an older individual falls and breaks something, whether it's a hip or a shoulder, they should do a complete review of their medications, because there are medications that, some of them may be essential or life-sustaining for you, but some of them may be superfluous and may be causing you to feel dizzy and lightheaded, and then you hit the deck. So we really need to kind of zero base your medication regimen, because when you get older, sometimes the medications are too powerful, there's too many, they interact with one another. That could be part of the problem that caused your fall. Number two, did you ever have a bone density? Did you ever have a DEXA scan to see if you have osteoporosis?
Yeah, I'm pretty solid. I tripped over my own leg.
So it was an ungainliness kind of thing. All right. So again, the medications may play a role. So look, if you have a fracture, let me recommend that you do a couple of things. First of all, it is correct to take some kind of anti-inflammatory. So something like Wobenzyme or the product that you're talking about is going to be good. But the thing that really helps fractures knit, something that I'm using now, on my patients who have had fractures or who've had recent, surgery, hip replacement, knee replacement, and they want to accelerate healing, or even patients with osteoporosis, I use a product called Ostinol, which is bone morphogenetic protein. It actually helps bone, knit back together more effectively. So these are some things that can make a difference. You may also want to take pycnogenol. It's a powerful bioflavonoid that prevents a swelling and promotes circulation. That would be good, too. There's a regimen for this, and actually listed supplements that I took for my hip fracture recently that would be applicable to a shoulder fracture, too. You can find that. If I don't know whether you go on the internet, but get somebody to help you get on the internet and just Google supplements for fracture. That's you know, on my website, there's a little search box. Put those terms in, and you'll find my prescription in terms of all the supplements that I took that facilitated my healing from a hip fracture. I didn't know about Ostinol then. I wish I had, because that would have accelerated my recovery even more. All right, this item is of interest because we know that antibiotics, when given to young children, increase the risk for childhood obesity. This is the conclusion of a study that appeared earlier this year. And the way it works is that if you kill off certain bacteria in your gastrointestinal tract with antibiotics, you actually may increase the levels of a hunger hormone called ghrelin, which causes people to eat more. And you may also increase the level of insulin. Insulin tells fat cells to store more energy. Fat builds up, leading to obesity. It's a well-known property of antibiotics. Now, an initial study also suggested that antibiotics given to children increase their risk for type 2 diabetes. This used to be unheard of. Type 2 diabetes in kids, it was thought to be, no, that's an adult disease. It's actually, it was termed adult onset diabetes, not juvenile onset diabetes. Well, they can't say that anymore because now we have kids, young kids and teenagers who have what's called type 2 diabetes, non-insulin dependent diabetes. It's linked to obesity and insulin resistance. Now comes, and this is really scary, antibiotic treatment increases the risk for type 1 diabetes in an animal study. Okay? In doses equivalent to those used regularly in human children, antibiotics changed the mix of gut microbes in young mice to dramatically increase their risk for type 1 diabetes. That's pretty scary because first obesity, then, all right, yeah, then type 2 diabetes. And now it's been revealed that when children are given too many antibiotics, it sets the stage for juvenile onset or type 1 insulin-dependent diabetes. Dr. Martin Blaser, who's been a guest on my program, we do a podcast during the week. I interviewed him a year ago. He says, our study begins to clarify the mechanisms by which antibiotic-driven changes in gut microbiomes may increase the risk for type 1 diabetes. So that indeed is a concern. You know, we're giving our kids too many antibiotics too early, and we got to be very, very sparing of that. Here's another peril that kids are exposed to, and that is fluoridated water. Yeah, you know, fluoridated water, it's claimed, has prevented an epidemic of dental decay, but there's some consequences because there is the potential for a neurotoxicity from fluoride. In a study done at Harvard University, lower IQ was found in children exposed to fluoride. Children in high fluoride areas had significantly lower IQ scores than those who lived in low fluoride areas. So this recent study adds fuel to the fire of the controversy over fluoride administration in our water supplies. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 888-302-3684 is our number. We've got another hour of the program for many of you, so please stay with us. This is Intelligent Medicine.